Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodie, and I am your host, and I have an awesome show for you this week. I sat down with Brad and Sierra. As you know, or as many of you know, they are taking on a trip around the United States to different places, and they ended up in Texas during the snowstorm, so we're going to talk about what it was like living out of their Model 3 for 3 days in the middle of an unprecedented storm, snowstorm. So they have some really cool stories to tell you, some really cool nuggets to learn from. We're also going to talk about scheduling Tesla service while you're away from home and other really cool little goodies. And three quick things before we start. First, we have given away $100 out of the $200 that Chip and I are giving away, Amazon gift cards. So I'm really happy about that. If you are in need or you just want something from Amazon, or you have a project that you've been working on, you've been putting off because you're like, I don't want to spend the money, send me an email. Or if you have a family member or a friend that could use it, or you could use it, just send me an email and we'll send you a $50 gift card. We have two more to give away. And the second thing is in the middle of the podcast, at some point their dog gets a squeaker toy and we just rolled with it because she was happy and didn't want to take it away from her. But you're going to hear, I took a lot of them out, but you're going to hear some squeaking while Brad and Sierra are talking during some of the show. It's not terrible. I took as many out as I could, but I found it to be very charming. And finally, you're going to hear how awkward I can get when I'm introducing a guest, even if that guest is family. So I messed up the intro a couple times. I left it in there because it's genuine and there was some good laughs, so I left it in there. All right, without further ado, let's get right down to the interview with Brad and Sierra. Brad and Sierra, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
First time talking in so long.
It's been a while. Yeah, we're definitely due for an update.
We are. And I wanted to have you guys back because you had a grand adventure that nobody else in this world has had, only you two. So, that's terrible. Brad and Sierra, welcome to the show.
Take one. First
nailed
one.
It. Nailed every it. Time.
Three.
Hi. Thank you for having us. Okay. So.
Well, hello, Brad and Sierra. How are you guys? How are you today?
We're so good. So happy to be here. Hey.
Yeah. You know, the hardest thing for me for this stupid podcast is saying hello to the guests as if we haven't talked for the last 30 minutes and then also saying goodbye, because I know immediately after we are just going to go ahead and have another little conversation before we leave. Mm-hmm. And like I was recording with Jessica and I was like, okay, Jessica, have a great day. And she's like, great, have a great day, Bodie. Thank you very much for having me on. And I hit hung up and I completely removed everything from our I ended the entire call. Like, I had to call her and be like, I'm so sorry. Please don't shut your browser so everything can upload.
I have gotten what I needed and that was it.
Yeah. Kicked out.
Yeah. Yeah. You're done. You're done. See you in a month. So hi guys. In all seriousness, I wanted to have you back on because last time we left, you guys, you were going to be traveling to Texas with your brand new Tesla Model 3 and your, you know, 1.5-year-old golden retriever.
19-month-old.
Oh, 19 months. Just kidding. So sorry.
I'm not one of those people.
Well.
How many puppuccinos did you get her between here and there? In a 19-hour drive, how many puppuccinos did that dog eat?
She's watching her sugar intake, so that's a pretty insensitive question.
She's keto.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you guys got your car just before Christmas, right? Or does it just after? Just after?
Just before.
Yeah, just before. Like mid-December.
Christmas.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, no, because like you had it here during Christmas time. Yeah, well, how wouldn't it? So you guys basically had that time plus a couple of weeks to prepare for your trip you went to Texas. Now, knowing that you guys got the Standard Range Plus, which is, what, 260-mile range?
Yep, right around there.
A little more, but yeah, there about.
I want to know, mostly for my own argument's sake, when I want to buy a Tesla, and I have to argue this with my wife, how did you go about planning for your trip? Because 260 miles is a little less than you're going to get with a gas vehicle, but you have to make stops anyway for your doggy. So what was the plan there? What was the process?
Well, first, we waited a really long time.
To get the car?
Yeah. Well, no, like, we, like, waited way too long to plan. And then you started freaking out naturally.
Yeah, that's when it hit me. Like, 2 days before, yeah. I was like, wait, like, we have to stop and charge it? Like, what? Yeah.
And we did know it was going to be more than one day. So we also, you were, like, really wanted to book the hotels, which was good.
Oh, and yeah.
Definitely helped.
Having a hotel.
But, yeah, I mean, so then you were, like, nervous about it. We went in the car and we put in the destination. And, you know, it's, like, it shows you all of the spots. You know, along the way, it plans out, like, MapQuest, but also adds in the chargers and tells you how much battery you're going to have. And
you see, like, as it's populating all the chargers, you see the travel time just go up and up and up. Yeah, it's, like, it started, like, 17 hours and it ended at, like, 24 or something.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, and that was kind of a hard hit at first. Like, just seeing it on paper, I'm just like...
Yeah.
And it ended up not being a big deal at all. But at first, it was like, oh, wow, we're really, like...
Was it accurate?
Adding on a lot of time.
Yeah.
No, it was, but when it maps it out, it tells you... it bases it off of the minimum amount you have to charge. So it's like you could just stop and charge for 15 minutes and go on to your next charger. But a lot of times we would charge more because we're like, we're not really comfortable with letting it get to 5-10% like the car's fine with, you know?
Yeah, that was.
So it's kind of accurate, but we usually went a bit above what it suggested.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much every time we'd just fully charge basically.
Yeah.
Not fully, but you know, like, but yeah, it, so that certainly added a lot of time because you can just fill to what you need. So, yeah.
But it is true. We were going to stop, like, thinking about our road trip from Northern California to Arizona. Like, we would stop every 2 hours anyway because we were bored, had to use the bathroom. The dog had to go out. Yeah.
So, well, that first, I remember that first time we stopped like 17 times. It was like crazy.
Before we even had the Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're already very frequent stoppers.
Yeah. You just naturally stop. I mean, unless you're like.
Well, as Sierra knows, that is not how I roll in the least. Like, once we get in the car, we're not stopping unless it's for gas. And then that's it. That is as far as it goes. My wife actually has a rule in our marriage that we had to set up early on. I think it was even before we got married, is that she has the option of stopping once an hour to go to the bathroom, and I have to accommodate her. She doesn't have to use it, but I have to accommodate those requests.
Yeah, the Tesla's in her favor then.
Yeah.
It's built in, good P spots.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everyone had a place you could.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
And a place you could get food from.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Nearby, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot were like Hampton Inn Expresses or Holiday Inn or Marriott.
How does that work if you're not a guest?
Yeah, we noticed a couple of hotels a lot. So all of them were open to the public. Except for one?
Yeah, but otherwise.
Yeah, they were all open and they were all perfectly along the route. Like we never had to go a long stretch where we were like uncomfortable, you know, like, oh, we're not going to get a charger in time. Like they were perfectly spaced out. Mm-hmm. And that was a relief, but I didn't really know what to expect and was happy about.
Yeah, and I think it's a really big question people have too. Like, this is like, yeah, a lot of other people asked this too because they were like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you talk about the Mississippi man?
No, what?
No, never mind. Okay.
You can tell me later.
We just have a lot of people. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people when we're charging would come and ask us about the car. And the first question they had was, how often you have to charge it, how big of a pain that is. Mm-hmm. And don't want that to be the main focus. Story.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because everybody here listening realizes it's like a normal car and it has all the normal it can go 80 miles an hour, you know, like, et cetera. So, but a lot of people didn't. Like, people had questions about that. And I think that's fair to a degree because historically, you know, electric cars haven't. So it's like.
No, I think that's fair. I think media plays a lot into that, right? Because I work with a guy who was like, he's like, you'll never take your car on a long electric car on a long distance trip. And this was right before you guys were going. Did you meet yourselves here? Oh, okay,
I did. Cleo got a squeak toy, but Brad's taking it away. I thought I could really.
That's okay. I didn't know if you did it on purpose. So you're good. Anyway, that was right before you guys got your car. And I was like, well, no, they're actually planning a road trip and it's not going to be a problem. He's like, yeah, you'll never do it. I have a friend who has a Tesla and he doesn't drive it anywhere outside of the city. And I was like, well, your friend either isn't real or is an idiot because you can drive it wherever you want. Even if you don't have a Tesla charger. And he's like, no, you can't. He's like, he won't take it anywhere. And if you get a Tesla, you aren't going to take long trips with it. And I was like, yeah, I am. That's a part of the reason why I want to get the Tesla.
Oh yeah.
That's why we did too. But like, and that's exactly the part of the story that they're not realizing, right? It's like they're seeing the cost or the negative, which is like, sure, you have to charge a little bit more often. And, you know, at first we were telling the story and we're like, oh yeah, you have to charge more often. But the other half of the story is the benefit, which is like autopilot and FSD. And
it's way less draining. It's like when it's on full self-driving, and we're both people who really don't like to drive. Some people find peace just staring out on the open road, but that is not us. Like, we're very anxious. I'm a very anxious driver. So being able to have the car just do the work, and it's really incredible, like, especially on highways, like, you're there, and of course, like, your hands are on the wheel, but you kind of figure out a good rhythm where, like, your hands are just hanging there, and you're still paying attention, you know, liability-wise, but it's just so much less draining and exhausting at the end of the day of driving when FSD is on versus if you have to be fully in control the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, it is so significant. Yeah. Like, we feel like we could drive all day for a few days and, like, not even take too much of a hit.
Now, if you had to compare, right, your percentage while you're on the freeway of driving with FSD, what percentage, not, I would guess not compare, if you had to guess, what percentage of the time you're on the highway was FSD?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I know exactly, almost.
100?
Yeah.
100%.
100% of the time. 100% of the time. And to the point where, like, one of us is driving, this happens on, like, either of us, and we're starting to drive on the highway, and then everyone's like, why are you driving?
Yeah, we literally look at Matt if they're like, stop yeah, driving, like, stop you're doing driving. Bad. Like, yeah. let the car drive.
Please, like, yeah.
And it's even, like, I'm like, you realize you're driving, right? Because I always assume that it's, like, on accident, you know? Yeah. Like, there's no way he's intentionally driving right now. And, like, we even feel that way, not as much, like, on the side roads, but, and Brad's more confident than I am for using it on, like, non-highway streets. But you probably use it, like, 60, 70% of the time on other roads, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, on non-highway roads. Yeah. 60 would probably be about.
And I probably do, like, 20% on side roads because I get really nervous about cars parked on the road or if it's going to see bicycles and stuff. I'm pretty nervous about that. But if it's, like, a empty neighborhood or something – not too dense, then I'll use it then.
Yeah, like on the highway, I'll, like, if there's nobody around, it's easy to, like, look out the side. You can, like, check out your surroundings and, like, really
change, like, the music. Relax.
Yeah. But, and, like, the system's good enough to handle that where it's still better than me. But on the side roads, it's our version. It works better for the next version, FSD. But
It's like, yeah, I'm going to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. You're like, very prepared to take over.
And that's the thing. It's like people are like, you know, especially like even AI people and stuff. They're like, it's so dangerous to have this, like any level two. It's dangerous because people assume it's like, no, at the end of the day, you still realize it's your car. You've seen it fail a few times and you're like, okay, even if I'm going to use it, I'm going to be careful. Like,
you kind of know its weak spots.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
So I think that's, like, maybe if you just get in the car and you're, you know, still new to it, maybe. But when you're driving and you've used it a while, you're pretty aware when you have to pay attention, when you don't.
Yeah, I'm guessing, like, anything, you just kind of get adapted to it, right? Like, if you were to drive one of our cars now, you'd be like, why is this stupid car not doing what I expect it to do? So over time, you just kind of get adapted. I started last week, our friend was in town, and we were talking about it a little bit. So I started describing full self-driving like this, right? Because it's not technically full self-driving. It's only level two at this point, which is a really good level two, because there is a lot of car companies out there that say they're level two, and Tesla is heads and tails above them, right? I've never ridden in like a Chevy or the Cadillac that has level two charging. So that one might be really good too. I don't have a frame of reference for that, but it's basically like, you still got to pay attention. It's like having another set of eyes in the passenger seat, but they don't constantly nag you.
Yeah. Yeah. And when it's on the highway, I even feel like I'm almost the passenger.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, and I'm nagging the system. Like, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't change lanes yet. You know, like...
Oh, we're a little presumptuous, aren't we?
Yeah.
But there's definitely been cases where we're like, oh, wait, I see why I did that.
Yeah, that's... Oh, yeah.
That's pretty weird.
Especially on Navigate on autopilot, which I don't really use a ton, but it, especially at first, it would be like, you know, it's like a two-lane highway, and then it would be like moving over for traffic, and, you know, you kind of like fast lane... deal with that, right? I could have said that better, but or at all almost. So we're in the fast lane, and it would go like, okay, I'm gonna move over for, you know, to get in the slow lane. And like half the time I'd be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And the other half seemed like I was like, no, this is, why are you moving over? Don't move over, like stay in the fast lane. And then like 10-15 seconds later, I'm like, oh, that's why. Like, legit, like, there'd be somebody who I didn't see, and then they're, like, on our tail, or, like, you know, something else that would be...
Right, like, somebody's thing. Going too slow in front of you or whatever, and it picked up from another Tesla or whatever. It's just transmitting all that data.
It's also, it's pretty amazing, like, when you go from being, like, nervous about it and, like, not trusting it to, like, trusting it and, like, knowing its capabilities, it's, like... almost like a second awakening is not the right word. But yeah, it's just like a whole different level of like appreciation for what it can do. Like once you start trusting it.
Yeah. Awakening might be an overstatement.
Yeah. I know, but I couldn't think of another word.
I do feel like it is very freeing. Like you really feel like you're getting your brain back. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't have to like think about the exact like staying in the lane. I can just like, you know, notice where the cars are, their cars are, and like
look out for like if there's debris in the road or something.
Yeah, look out and get the context, but also like look around and swivel your head a little bit, and I think that like probably helps people stay awake, and actually probably helps you focus. There was like a highway. There was a study that just came out about the bears being added. I shouldn't, because I don't remember who did it. Like, National Highway Institute did, like, the study where they had people drive on the highway, then they had, a pearl bear attached.
Oh, yeah.
Like a stuffed animal bear?
Yeah.
That was, the whole point of that was to show that level two charging, I don't think it had a specific company that they did it, was... to show that level two charging helped you pay attention more often.
Not charging. Level two.
Yeah, not FSD. Charging. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Level two autonomy, because it's not even FSD. It's level two autonomy. But yeah, I read about that, and I didn't put it in last week's show because it was a big show. But I read about that, and most of the people didn't even recognize it. The people that weren't driving with level two on, they didn't. Most people didn't even recognize that there was a bear in the back of the car, attached to the back of the car. And then, like Brad was saying, people with level two enabled, they saw the car, and it would drive by them like several times. It would like slow down and drive past and slow down and drive past. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And if you were just new to the system, if you were like were had only driven a little bit on autopilot or FSD, you would get worse. So initially you get worse, but then once you're used to the system, you actually much better. Mm-hmm. And it's like that rings so true. It's
yeah.
Like, when you're first getting used to that system, it's like learning to drive again in a way, like unlearning to drive again. and yeah, I can see it being worse initially, but certainly better after.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it, is you're unlearning to drive, simply because it is different. You have to be willing to you have to be willing to shift focus. It's not to lessen your focus. You just have to shift your focus off of, like you said, things like staying in the lane and more of a more broad view of what is going on around you. And it's not like, I'd be interested. Have you ever been on the backside of Tahoe? Like on the backside of Tahoe, if you go through South Lake and then you're heading up to like Truckee, it's like really windy and terrifying. And there's like, like there's no guardrails on some of the roads that you're driving on. And it just feels like you're going to fall off the end of the earth. And it's really high. I would like you guys to please go up, turn on full self-driving and tell me how relaxing that was.
Yeah, I will say. Yeah, it does take some turns a little fast. You know, it doesn't do exactly what you would do. So, yeah.
In those situations, not yet.
And it's about the trust, too. It's like, it almost is going to be like worse for people who were early on the system or something, because they've like seen it fail. And then like, if somebody's just jumping into the FSD program like really late and it's really mature, they're going to like implicitly trust it a lot. But somebody who's like seen it fail so much, like initially, is going to be like, I'm going to be careful for probably a lot longer. I mean, it's very good, and it's way better than driving yourself, I think. But it's still like, you know, it's, I mean, autopilot's fantastic. The highway driving is phenomenal. And there's some cases where it's like pretty obvious. You're like, oh, this is going to be a crazy situation and I'm going to take over. But still such a nice feature to have on the highway. Like, I feel safer. I feel more alert. At the end, I'm way not like drained.
Yeah.
It's just a totally different experience. A totally different way to drive.
That's awesome. Now, do you guys want to go in chronological order? Because I kind of think we should save the Texas when you were there for last, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to talk about is you guys made a service appointment because you had some damage to your vehicle. And just kind of walk us through real quick how the... Because I think ending on the service appointment might might be a little anticlimactic compared to what you guys have been through.
That's fair. Stay tuned for the Texas snowstorm. No power, no water. How did they survive? Yeah, at the end of the show. Our first service appointment, RIP, our first windshield. Mm-hmm. We got a crack in it and quickly spread through the whole front windshield. It didn't affect the top.
Yeah, thank goodness. It was the initial point was like pretty high, very, very high on the front windshield, but luckily it didn't hit. I think it would have been worse if it was like on the top, because it seems like a whole different beast. But it was on the, but yeah, I spread pretty much from one side to the mirror.
So like, did your insurance cover that, or was that something under warranty, or did you have to pay out of pocket?
Yeah, insurance covered. But we also like, we tried to make an appointment with a local windshield, like just, you know, person who does it.
In Texas.
Yeah. And they didn't want to do it.
Because, no, they were like, yeah, don't trust us. Yeah.
because of the cameras. Uh-huh. So, and if they break the cameras, then it could start having maybe an impact on warranty. It's like unclear. I don't want to like say it because I don't know. I just know I was nervous about like having our warranty and everything like that.
But then we tried to make an appointment at a service center in Texas, and they were all booked up for like weeks. Like Houston, there were like quite a few, and there were no appointment slots at all. So then we're like, okay, I guess we'll have to wait till we get to our next stop.
I wonder what happened in Texas that allowed that build up like that.
Oh, yeah.
maybe we'll hear about it later in the story.
Ooh, a little tease.
but yeah, so then you, like you booked the service appointment on the app.
Yeah.
Flawlessly. It was like.
Took a couple pictures of it. Yeah.
And that was it. Meanwhile, I'm trying to work with the insurance company, and like, then that insurance company has like a broker they work through for that.
He got the bad end of the deal. I was like, I'll make the appointment. You do the insurance.
And so like, yeah, like I call them, and they're fine, and everything seems good. And they're like, okay, well, we're gonna haggle with, in so many words, we're gonna haggle with Tesla. You know.
Oh, and it's worth noting that the windshield costs $1,000 to be replaced.
$925, yeah.
Yeah, we were like, what? Because I've gotten windshields replaced for like $200. So
that $8 a month that's added to your insurance is real worth it at that point.
Yeah, yes. We didn't even know if we had that. We're glad we did.
Yeah, no deductible.
Yeah. So the only back and forth stuff was insurance. But once that was figured out, we don't have to drag people through it. We just...
And then I called up.
And then she said, call back at the end of the day. No.
And then I talked to David, and David didn't have any clue, so we started over. So let me tell the story again.
Then they forwarded me to...
Everyone loves those stories. So we finally...
And you also, because of that insurance thing, you had to push back the... Like, the appointment was on Tuesday, then it was, like, you pushed it back on Wednesday, then it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. And, like, each time it was, like...
So easy.
They were like, okay, fine, yep. Like, the app's, like, you just do it in the app, and it's no hassle, nothing. Like, you can just move your thing, your appointment, totally fine.
I was surprised by that. I thought after the second or third one, they'd be like, nah, we're not going to serve you. Yeah. Like, I was nervous about that, but they were totally fine with it.
Yep.
Yeah. You
know, which is awesome. And so then we went in the morning, we drove there.
Mm-hmm. We got instructions. We got like a message in the app that said like, this is a touchless experience. Drive it into this spot.
Mm-hmm. Message was self-destructing.
Yeah. you just drive into a garage with a bunch of other Teslas that have missing parts.
Yeah, which was weird to see. It was weird to see Teslas without bumpers.
Yeah.
You're like, oh no.
That looks so bad.
Yeah. I mean, so would any car. But yeah.
Yeah. And when we pulled into our space, it knew we were there. It's like, you've arrived. Here's your $100 Uber credit.
$100?
Yeah.
What if you don't use it? Do you still get to keep it?
No, you have 24 hours and it expires. we only used it. We were like uncomfortable doing Uber, but we like dropped it off. I knew we were there. And then at the end of the day, got a message that it was ready. Use the Uber credit.
Yeah, that was so cool. At the end of the day, so you like go onto the app.
Oh, you also pay in the app.
Yeah, you pay through the app. And then at the end of the day, it was like, oh, I took a picture. It says, you know, like ready. Oh, it says ready for pickup. And it was charging, so they plugged in. So
yeah, they plugged it in for us.
Yeah. So I'm like, let's wait, because it's kind of hard to charge here. So I'm like, let's just like wait.
Yeah, let's take our time.
Yeah. Yeah, it says ready for pickup, charging. I mean, it was like level 2, so it was 30 miles an hour. But
like a destination charge level.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And then, we went and then grabbed it, walked in, grabbed it.
Yeah.
And never talked to anyone, never saw anyone.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of a weird, like, auto shop experience. So it was just
Honestly, that sounds like a dream to me.
Yeah, it was really nice. Yeah. And now I got the new windshield.
Yeah, and what a windshield it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I would imagine that it hurts your soul just to look at the old windshield after only owning the car for a couple of months.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. Yeah, we just watched it get worse and worse. And Brad did a little home remedy.
Oh, yeah, I did. Next time I would just do that right away. I got the kit.
To stop it from spreading?
Yeah. Then it stopped once I put that kit on.
So you just, like, filled the hole?
Yeah, well, it was, like, cracked, too, though. It was, like, just, yeah, it's, like, basically probably, like, super glue. I don't know what the messed up mixture is, but... And I didn't even do a good job. I did a really bad job. Like, it was one of those, like, projects. And it's like, you know, it's the car. So I'm like, I'm nervous about it. And I finished. I'm like, that was where I missed. Like, I read the instructions like 5 times before. And then I did it. And I missed like a bunch of them. Like, what? You know, because you're like, it's drying. Oh, no. It's, you know.
Yeah. Sounds like a botched arts and
Pinterest fail.
Project. Yeah. It was, but on a really.
On the most expensive thing we ever owned. Yeah. It's kind of a weird combination to be like sticking super glue in there.
Yeah, because you have to take, you put the glue on and then you, after it dries, you take a razor blade to the windshield and you're just scraping your windshield. I'm like, this just feels wrong. Like, I shouldn't be scraping the car with a razor blade.
Step one, doing? Key your own car.
But now another part of the car too is now it's parked and we're kind of in a more urban area and it's got Sentry mode on. And
oh, yeah.
Just that, like, feature. It's such an underrated feature. Like, but, man, it's bringing me so much peace knowing that, like, all of that. And it's like...
And it looks scary when it's activated because we've set it off Sentry mode a few times. And the screen, like, it lights up and it, if anyone's, like, trying to mess with it, like... I think the message on the screen would scare them away.
Yeah, they definitely know they're being recorded.
Yeah, It says now recording or something. But yeah, that is nice. So yeah, we feel like we can just check in on the car on the app.
I really cannot wait and hope. I'm sure eventually they'll have this, but where I can just like see the any events, if any events have happened, and then watch the events.
Yeah, from the phone.
Oh my gosh, that would be so, again, like, I remember hearing about that a while ago and I was like, but now I'm like, that would be so great. It would be so nice to have that.
No, that I completely agree with you. Like if we get the Cybertruck, I think I'm going to have to park it outside and I definitely want Sentry mode. Not that my neighborhood's rough. My neighborhood is far from rough. At best it would be taking video of people taking pictures of the truck, but just in case, you know.
Yeah, it's just more people. It's just like anytime you're around more people, it's like, who knows, they might be trying to do something funny, and we're in a place where people drink too, so it's like, that's probably more than urban. It's like, not that there's a lot of people, but there's a lot of people drinking. It's like, don't do something stupid with the car.
All right, do you guys know what foreshadowing is? Like when you're writing a book or telling a story.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
By any chance, when you started this whole process of your trip and moving on to different and greener pastures, did you guys experience any sort of foreshadowing?
Oh. Like, did we get any warning?
Did you get a piece of advice from a sage, wise old man, and then blatantly tell them that he was stupid and ignore it? That's all I'm asking you.
I said that with my actions, not with my words.
Yeah, we didn't get the snow tires.
Yeah, we're going to Texas. It does not snow there. That's dumb.
To be fair, I didn't want you to get snow tires, just chains.
Chains. Yeah. We did not think that was necessary because we're going in a climate that was supposed to be 75 degrees on average in January. So sorry we ignored climate change and neglected to get, but it's fine. Honestly, what would chains have helped us? We weren't in like deep snow, right?
It would have taken some of the worries off because you didn't want to drive late because of the ice.
Yeah, I didn't want to drive. That's true.
I mean, we should set up.
Yes, you guys were in.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's the scene. You just had to get your I told you so moment in there. No matter what expense to the story.
I digressed because I just wanted to talk about storytelling. That's all.
Well, now we foreshadowed.
Yeah, now everybody knows how I'm going to get murdered. It won't happen in the wintertime, though, but it will happen when there's no snow on the ground. So you guys stayed in what looked like a very pretty place. What are you mouthing?
Well, you're just like trying to like foresee your own death. You're like, the Oracle came and visited you.
No, I fully imagine that Sierra's going to be like, are the roads dry today? All right, let's go. It's the end of his life. We got him finally. But you guys stayed in a nice little coastal community.
We did. Mm-hmm. Very remote, mm-hmm. small town on the coast of Texas.
Yeah. On the Gulf.
On the Gulf. It's on the. It's still the ocean, even if it's the Gulf. It's still the ocean. No way. You hear him? Brad doesn't think.
A different body of water.
It's the same body of water.
I think it's the same body of water. The area is just the Gulf. The body of water remains the same.
Yeah. Well, like, this is where you get that from. So, like, let's just look it up.
You're like, your stupidity is hereditary.
This nonsense is where you'd get it. All right. Here's the thing. I don't know if Dale has checked out, but Dale is a biologist. Not to say that he's an oceanographer, but he has science degrees. So is a gulf a separate body of water, or is a gulf the same body of water, just in an area? Because a peninsula is still a peninsula connected to land. Like Florida is still in the North American continent, but it juts out into the ocean. Whereas Hawaii... Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm not wrong about
this. Yeah, because this is like our ongoing.
I like to be right, though. See, that's the thing. That's the thing about me.
That's a little special thing about me. It's a little quirky thing about Brad.
So, on this case, this is a perfect example where.
Well, again, he's not. Well, Dale, he's, Dale this isn't his us. Brand of science, but he's the only person with. The type of science he's the closest person listening to this show with the type of science degree that I think would have authority that I know of. How's that?
Okay,
but maybe there's other listeners. You could do a little
a democracy
a vote. You could do a listener vote here. Mm-hmm. Everybody mail in your
or just use metrics like thumbs down this podcast if Brad's right, thumbs up this podcast if we're right.
Yeah, that shouldn't hurt. Just leave it in the comments. This podcast sucks because this guy doesn't know that a Gulf is a separate body of water. I would actually welcome that review if anybody wanted to write it.
Yeah.
That would show that they were listening this far, and that is amazing. Okay, sorry, back to our story. We were just chilling, nice sunny beach, loving life.
Yeah, yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet. We were right next to the water.
Mm-hmm. And then we heard that, hey, a storm is coming. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's like, ooh, spooky. Like,
yeah, people were like, yeah, they might lose power. And so we're like, I like remember looking up, like, what's something you could do to prepare if you have that? But like we didn't do anything about it. Like next time I'm like, hey, I should look it up. I'm gonna be like, oh, wait a minute. I should be taking this very seriously.
Yeah.
Cause especially if you're on your little mini grid, if you're on your
own. Yeah, if you don't belong to the federal, which we didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't know it was a thing either.
Yeah, and now we're all very aware, so that was a fun.
Yeah, that's true. The whole country kind of learned that.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of like a little best kept secret. Yeah.
If it's any consolation, right? Because Sierra knows that I'm paranoid in a lot of different ways in terms of because of my job. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do this because this can happen, right? I don't know that I would have done anything wholly different. I would have probably been like, you know what, power might go out for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. So maybe I would have done something in terms of making sure we had temporary heat, whatever that means where you're at. But I don't think I would have done, I mean, we'd have extra water. Like, that's about it. Like, I don't know that I would have done anything different at that point.
That was our worst case.
I'm like, I'm not going to go out and buy $1,000 generator for the Airbnb I'm staying at.
We don't have any room to transport it anyway.
Yeah, we were in that same mindset, though. Like, worst case scenario, we lose it for a few hours. Or maybe, like, a couple hours, get it back for a while, lose it again. Because that's what they were telling people would happen. Like, there's going to be rolling outages. Mm-hmm. So if you lose it for a little while, don't freak out. It'll come back.
And the other thing is there's like the side effects. Like if you're just losing power, okay, not a huge deal. But then it like starts compounding because it's also cold.
Below
it's
freezing really cold. Temperatures.
So then it's like you're like losing heat. You need to stay warm. But then you lose water, you know, and it's like, and then once you've lost,
and
if you don't have
we don't have any gas stove or anything.
Yeah, because it's like hurricanes, mm-hmm. so they don't do a lot of. So like, if you don't have heat and you don't have water,
and you can't keep the drip going because the water is not working, so then increases your chances of burst pipes.
Yeah, and but so like our host was like, "Oh yeah, I remember I was there one time when the power went off, but it was during summertime." And I'm like, if it was during summertime and the power went off, I'd be like, let's just go to the beach and just party for like a few days. Like, it's the compounding effect of the cold and then the water. And it's like, once you lose those two, or three, right? Water, heat, power.
And then once the power doesn't come on for over 3 days.
Yep. It's also compounding that way where it's like, every day it's like harder and harder than it was the day before.
It's getting colder.
Yeah. And you're like more exhausted. You're more like just
losing hope.
And you're like, it was like, I didn't have the energy to like research more.
And the phones weren't working. That was another thing. Like the first day and a half.
Yeah. I mean, at some point you guys, You couldn't
we
research couldn't. More.
Yeah, right? Like that's why we could call. So like that's why we called you.
Yeah, and that's such a big part about this, like that we should like really probably do something about because there was places with power, but it was impossible to know which places had power. Like it was so hard to figure that out, and it was shifting too. But like, so you'd call a hotel and they'd be like, "Oh no, we don't." And you call another hotel, "Oh no, we don't have power." Oh, you know. If they could even answer, and then some would, but then like they'd be booked, or some places would, and then like you get there and there was no power anymore. They're like, we
just lost it. And like the best means for keeping up is like through Twitter, which is kind of crazy because like there should really be a service website.
Yeah, and that's still like individual point. It's not like a collective. Look at it anyway, which is a really simple.
It was a problem.
It's such a problem. Like it's shocking how much of that is a problem. Because then you don't know where to go, right? Like even like if you need, you know, electricity for the car or gas, and you want you know the gas station, and or you want to go to a store and you know.
But also, we did make it to some stores and the. Like, I went to go get water, and all of the shelves were just cleared out.
Yeah, of water. That was a bad sign, too.
When
at the point when the stores don't have water, nobody's pipes are, you know, like, nobody's got running water, and then the stores sell out of water, and you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know, that was a weird feeling, being like, wow, this could get, like, you know, very, very serious very quickly at that point. Luckily it didn't.
So you guys didn't, you had water Which went out? Power or water?
Power first? Went out first. And then we lost water like maybe 24 hours in.
How long were you guys out? Because I want to talk about like how you managed with your Tesla during that cold snap, because you're, to be clear to the audience, the house had no water, no heat. It was electric all the way around, electric hot water heater, right? You had no gas option at all. So how long did you not have water or heat?
Both. How long? I mean, the water was like a day less than the power outage.
Yeah, but there's no hot water either.
We didn't have hot water at all.
And even though, I don't even know if it was a full day if it took. I think it was like the morning. But yeah, I mean, the power, I think, was at least 72 hours.
So yeah. It was like maybe 3.5 days. Because in the third night, after, no, wait, did we go 3 nights without power? And then we went and we found some place to stay. I think that was the fourth night or the third night. Well, and then we heard from our landlord that it came back on when we were staying at the other person's house, like in the middle of the night. Yeah. And so then once we knew that it had been on like for a full 12 hours straight, then we headed back. Cause we're like, what if we go back and then like it goes out again, you know? But yeah, I think we did 3 nights of sleeping with no power. And on the fourth night, when it came back on, is when we got it. Yeah. 3.5 days.
So when you guys were there, right, you're like, okay, the house has no power. It's cold. You guys are right on the ocean. So it's even colder with that wind.
Stilts, right? So
oh, yeah. The whole house is like rocking.
The whole house is rocking a lot because like every time the wind blows, it's like they don't crossbars or what. But it's also all the wind goes underneath. So the house loses its heat very quickly.
Oh, that's a very good point, because it's up on stilts to avoid water damage.
And we also realized on the last day that one of the bathroom windows was cracked.
A little tiny. That was the other side.
Like cracked open or just broken? Just
open a little bit.
Because we had dyed my hair in there.
Yeah,
so.
Not even.
But still, we were not insulating. We were like, we were actively sabotaging. Right.
But that wouldn't have made a difference.
Okay, that's good.
Maybe an hour, you know?
That wouldn't have made a difference.
But now, I do think next time, if you realize it's like, okay, I would have gone into a small room, like try not to open the door as much as possible, gotten plastic or something to put over the windows, put even a blanket over that, over the windows, and just tried to stay in the one room as much as possible.
Could have been way better. Yeah.
It would have lasted a little longer, but at some point you're going to lose the heat anyway. Like at some point.
Yeah. And you want to be careful, right? Cause you don't want to be using like candles and stuff, because eventually the candles will put off stuff, nasty stuff that, I mean, depending on the size of the room, it's not going to kill you, but it's not a habit you want to get into. I saw some people, they were like, no heat, no problem. And they turned on their gas stove in their house, like their oven. And it's like,
yikes. Yeah. Were they okay? Hopefully.
I mean, oh yeah, they're fine. But it's like, if ventilation things go wrong and you don't have a detector to detect the gas, if it's leaking, that's problematic. So that's just kind of a safety thing more than anything else. But so at some point you guys were like, you know what? The car has heat, so let's go sit in the car.
Yeah, that's what we did for 2 of the days, was just sit in the car all day.
Yeah. Camp mode.
Yeah.
Camp mode is great. We knew it before, but.
And we were relatively charged up.
Yeah.
We could have been fuller. That's something else we should have done. If we heard, hey, we're going to lose power, let's fill up, let's charge the car. We did not do that.
I was charging, but then it was like, you don't want to overload the system. You know, it's like, am I?
So we're like, let's be civically responsible.
Yeah, like near the end. And I'm like, that's part of it, I guess. But also, like, I was, it would, for a while, I was like, the power was like flickering.
Flickering.
Yeah. So I didn't, I mean, I'm sure the car can handle
it. Yeah. So we had like what 130 miles ish. It was like maybe halfway full.
It was pretty good the first time.
Okay. Yeah. It was pretty good, but it was also like, you know, the more we sat in it, and we're also able to use it to charge our phones up, which was really nice. Because our phones weren't charged at all.
That was so nice because we never the whole time had to worry about our phone. You know, because once you lose your phones, then it's another kind of, you know, whole world of problems.
Yeah. So
that was nice. Never have to worry about that.
Yeah. And interesting enough, one town over, 20 minutes away, they still had power. Or at least the spot where the Tesla destination charger was. So we were able to get some juice there, but we just had to wait, you know, for like 4 or 5 hours to get a worthy amount, you know.
Were there other people trying to get in, or just you guys?
There were more than average, but like it wasn't crazy. Like I think like timing worked out, or when someone was leaving, like we like pulled in, you know. So yeah, that there's not a ton of Teslas there though, so didn't seem like a huge deal. But yeah, we were able to do that one of the days, which was really nice, because then we felt like, oh, we can like sleep in the car tonight and like not feel like we're just wasting, draining the battery. But then we had the idea to go to Houston.
Yeah, oh gosh. Well, it was like
on the third day.
I don't know how worth. Yeah, it was like we woke up, everything seemed fine, roads are dry. and so I was like, you know, let's go charge and then come back and
let's go supercharge.
Yeah, sorry.
That's Cleo. Yeah. That's what the sound she makes when she puts her gets her tiny ball stuck under the couch.
That's fine. So it was the, you know, the roads were dry. We were like, okay, let's go charge. And then, you know, maybe we can jump from there farther, or we can find a hotel around there, or we can always just go back.
Yeah, we thought we had to have a higher chance of finding a hotel, I think was our main plan. And we're like, and we can supercharge. And our map showed us that some chargers were out.
Yeah, that was cool. That's something to bring up. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Tesla was like, these ones are dead, but these ones are alive.
Yep. Showed us which ones had power.
And so we were like, oh, cool. So we went to the nearest one in Houston that was still working. Mm-hmm. And we got out to plug it in, and the power literally went out.
Yeah, well, and even on the way there, we were having like a ton of mile slippage. Like,
yeah, because it was so cold.
Yeah, so like it took a lot more miles than estimated initially. Mm-hmm. So we got there when we were pretty low.
Yeah.
We were
like 40 miles maybe?
Yeah. We got 40 miles and we're like, oof, this is like.
Yeah, we don't normally don't push it. And we had never seen that kind of slippage before.
Yeah. And so we get there and like you
literally
said, like,
go to plug in, and within like the minute, the power went out.
Mm-hmm. The whole area.
The whole area. Like I was taking Cleo on a little walk, and like the restaurant, I watched their lights go out, you know, and they're like, oh. So no. It was like literally the minute we got there. Mm-hmm. And so then we had this whole debate of like,
it was really like, that was shitty.
That was really, yeah. We were like, we're really low.
Yeah. Like, I think we were kind of like over, like we were also like already exhausted and
you know, day three.
Day three, everything had been going wrong. And like now I'd be like, yeah, 40 miles is pretty good. Like, but at the time it was like, that's nothing, because you know, we were like, well, we could try to go to the next one, and it's like 20 miles, but, you know, everything had been going wrong. So we were like, if that one is out too, it says it's working now. If that one is out though, we're screwed because we can't even stay warm through the night. And the car goes to zero, and there's nobody, like, you know, the car goes to zero, and you have to get, like, service people to come pick.
So and there's like, bigger fish to fry. Right. Like, yeah, we're in the middle of this. Insane snowstorm.
Yeah, there's way bigger fish to fry, so this is gonna be a block, and you know, we're gonna be super screwed.
And so we debated for like, do we just camp out at this charger hoping that the power comes back on? Mm-hmm. Or
we could probably, you know, probably have enough miles to stay warm through the night at that point.
Real quick, like, as a general rule, the two of you are pretty easygoing, and I never really see either one of you like get, even when you're frustrated, that frustrated. But I could tell, like, one night, I can't remember which night it was, I was talking to you guys, and you were making jokes and laughing, but I could tell that you were both very stressed, because you were in the car with Cleo. Oh, yeah. You know, it was cold. You guys had nothing to do except for effectively just sit there and stare at each other.
Yeah, I did read a whole book for the first time in, like, a long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a lot of just, like... and just worrying about it, like,
yeah. Every day got like worse and worse like that.
Yeah.
And this was the pinnacle. This was really like, then so we decided to go to the next charger, and it was like, we were already feeling very precarious, extremely precarious. Like driving there was the most stressful drive ever. Cause like we're worried about mileage slippage. We had just seen it like, say it was going to be this much, and it was actually a lot more.
Yeah, so, because all the highways were closed because of the ice. So we had to take all side roads. So it was taking way longer.
And there was a bunch of traffic.
Yeah, and we're just like sitting there. We're just watching the miles like fall, not moving.
Yeah, and we don't know if like we don't know if we can even get there. Like I'm starting to be like, if the road's closed,
We're super nervous. Really, we're not even talking.
Well, we had everything off, all appliances. Like,
yeah.
The windows were steaming up. We, like, let them steam up for a while before we, like...
cleared them, yeah.
It was horrible. It really was.
Yeah, it was such a bad drive.
But we were also, like, not coming from a point of strength because it had been a few days. So, like...
yeah, yeah.
Looking back, I was like, okay, it's probably good. But
yeah, it was just all the stress.
Yeah, we were at the end there. And if that one was out, we would have been like,
just
I'm gonna walk away from this car.
Yeah, this car is dead to us.
Yeah. But it wasn't, and it was very much working, and we got there, and it was a very nice view, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
it was wonderful. And we show up, and there was a guy we had seen at the previous one. And so, like, right when we both showed up at the same time, and we're like, oh, it's not working, no, it's not working. And then they left. And then, you know, we spent a while there debating what to do and just, like, panicking, which we don't normally, but, like, you know. And then so we go to the next one, and I'm, like, looking for a spot. And he's like, oh, you can take mine. And he was like, you know. And he's like, I was wondering where you guys were. What took you so long?
Yeah, he's like, what took you so long? Like, he literally
just went drove right the next away.
One yeah. and filled up by the time we got there. Because that was how much time we just spent, like, I don't know, what do we do?
Yeah. Were you, like, decision paralysis? That's what took us so long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. It's like, yeah, like, looking back. I mean, I do think it was close and it worked out. And there was a chance that it didn't. So it's great hindsight, but yeah, I mean, 40 normal miles on a normal day is fine. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't worry about it at all, but that was not a normal day. Mm-hmm. It had been, you know, dropping very quickly, and nothing had been going away. And, you know, all of the roads and issues and stuff like that. So,
yeah, we just felt like we were in survival mode for whole time. We're like trying to make it to our next meal, to our next charge. Trying to keep our poor dog.
Yeah, warm. when you finally got to a place to stay that was safe and had heat and stuff like that, you both look, I don't know if you had taken a shower yet, but you both look like you were just like, I'm not going to use this word because it's probably bad. You both look terrible.
You looked what?
You just out. Looked like you were exhausted. Oh, yeah. Terrible. Yeah. You both look terrible. Mm-hmm. You just look absolutely exhausted. And I could see on your faces, and it, you know, broke my heart a little bit. I could see on your faces, like, you guys have been really stressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to note that even though you had an electric car and you went through this ordeal, you'd probably have the same process if you went through with a gas car, because you still have to find your gas, and it doesn't make it any better because it's still, the whole process is still stressful.
Yeah. And this amazing family that took us in, they're so, so wonderful. They, even they were trying to figure out how to get gas because, like, the ones that were working, like, if you didn't show up at, like, 5 a.m. when the gas station opened, they were going to run out within, like, X amount of time. So it was, like, a whole other set of problems that...
And at the house, the people across the way, there wasn't a lot of people. There was a lot of houses, but not a lot of people there. But there was one people who lived there, and they have a gas car. And they would have to turn it on. Like, you could see them, like, the lights would go. They had to turn it on, like, every 20 minutes during the night, throughout the night. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you know, the car loses its heat pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And...
So they were trying to conserve.
Yeah, they're trying to, like, conserve, like, probably not turn it on too much, and then, like, you know, but still they want to be warm.
So you never really fall asleep. Yeah. You're constantly turning it back.
Yeah. It's like this whole thing where we could just put on camp mode and forget about it. And, you know, set the temperature at a conservative number, but a number that we were, you know, comfortable with heat-wise. And that was really nice.
So, yeah.
And it didn't use that much energy. I bet... Ours, you know, they probably had to fill up more often for if we were just heating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just heating. It probably lasts longer.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know for sure, but that'd be interesting.
It'd be a good, be a cool study with the new heat pump. But, it was, and, you know, the phones always being charged is a big, it's like your view to the world at that point. It's your, like, one, you know. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, it was an experience.
Yeah. Yeah, we certainly learned some lessons. Charge up before, obviously.
You know, there's no chains.
Get the snow chains. There's going to be cold. You're going to get, you know, they say it, but this was, like, pretty aggressive loss during, like, you know, very cold weather of miles.
Slippage, yeah.
Yeah, we call it slippage because, like, you see, it's like you, like, can see how what your mileage is going to be at the end, and you, like, on the start of a trip, you see, like, put your address in, see the miles, you're like, okay, it should be at, you know, like 150, and then you get there and you go, okay, how, what's it actually at? And it's
usually really accurate.
It's pretty good. It's always laying a little more, I think, but at least from my experience. But yeah, that was.
We're probably nearing your, and then you have a time limit.
We are at an hour and 1 minute. So, do you guys have any, like, in a brief advice to anybody who is in or may find themselves in a similar situation? Just to kind of to as a, like, as a public service announcement, what would you say is like you're the wizened old person at a birthday party and you're giving advice to the young folks.
We're the worst people to give advice on this.
I mean, like, honestly, have some water. We luckily had water.
Mm-hmm. We could have had more.
We could have more, but I was also, like, weird about collecting all the old bottles. So,
yeah,
like,
when it was, true.
So, like, when we had the water just dripping, to, like, try to prevent the freeze, I also had it fill up these old bottles, and that was
we could use it to flush the toilets.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Great.
And so that was one thing. I mean, the window thing again, I would probably do, but it's only gonna help you for so long. Not that long, but it would have helped a little bit, like covering all the windows and staying in a room. Charging up.
Charging up everything. Like, not just the car, but, like, our phones even. Just starting at, like, a good spot.
Yeah, we had kind of, I kind of charged our equipment a bit. Mm-hmm. Then I don't know, like, yeah, I guess, like, one is just, like, maybe a more general one is just, like, plan if, the power might go out for an hour or two. You should still plan like it's going to go out for a few days. But, you know, it's also, like, tough because if this happens again, it's, like, pretty ridiculous because, you know, normally a power is more localized. So you can go, you can, like, leave the area. This was, like, such a wide area that we couldn't even leave the area. We couldn't get out, you know. But, yeah, I'd say plan, like, it's going to be a couple days.
Well, it wasn't like you guys were, like, on the border of, like, you know, New Mexico or Wyoming or something, like, or Oklahoma. It's not like you guys could just drive across the border. Like, you were as far away from those places as you could possibly be when I was looking on the map. I was like, well, let's get them back to at least to Mexico. And I look, and you guys are, like, so far away. And I was like, okay, let's get them to Wyoming. And you guys are about the same distance away. And then I was like, well, Oklahoma, it's about the same distance. You guys were, like, not, no. I mean, you were like, literally in the worst place that you could have been if you, like, took a compass. Like, you know what a compass is? Like, the actual tool that people use for navigating and stuff. If you took a compass and you just kind of drew a circle, that's about the same. You could leave it on the same position and you would hit all three of those states pretty much from where you guys were. It was like a weird thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Taking long distance drives in Tesla with autopilot and FSD, great. It's really fine. It's a very relaxing trip. Being without power for an extended period of time and it being cold, bad. I would rate that
scary.
Bad.
I'm not gonna give that 4 stars.
Yeah. Maybe even as low as 3.5 stars. But
with a gas car, 2 stars.
It's gonna be bad regardless. Like, you know.
That's true.
And we were able to pretty much stay charged. And I think in the future it's gonna have more stations. But
all right, we gotta wrap it up. He's losing time. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, and thank you for wrapping it up. And I'm sure in another couple of months we'll get together and we will see where you guys are at on your next adventure.
Yeah, thanks for staying tuned. We enjoy sharing.
Yeah, oversharing.
Yep, probably.
All right, bye guys.
All right, bye. Yeah.
All right, that was Brad and Sierra. I want to thank them for coming on the show and being so generous with their time. Even though they're family, we hung out for pretty close to 2 hours. So, and they're it was quite late for them by the time we got done. I think it was like 11, maybe 11:30. So I want to thank Brad and Sierra for coming on the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. If you want to email me, go to or type into your email. Bodie, B-O-D-I-E @918digital.com. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter @918digital. And then if you want to support the show, go to supportkilowatt.com or patreon.com/kilowatt. And that is it for me, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will see you next week.